Joe, I'm Ian Ozan, WWL First News. Now back to Dave Cohen on WWL AM FM and .com.
8 minutes after 9 a.m., Dave Cohen in for Tommy Tucker on this 24th of July, 2025. All right, last chance, guys, on this National Tell an Old Joke Day for Ian and Joe to tell us an old joke. Joe, you got one?
A friend of mine sent this one, which I think is pretty good. He's thinking about the time at Olive Garden when the cute waitress paused while grating the cheese on the salad and asked if I wanted more. And I said, sure, I'm not driving. And she didn't laugh. I do use that now for non-drinking items. I'm not drinking, sure.
Okay. Ian.
A frog walks into a bank seeking a car loan. He talks to a teller named Patty. Patty says, well, what do you have for collateral? He says, I have these two tchotchkes I picked up at the Goodwill. She says, I can't give you that. The frog says, no, you have to give it to me. She said, let me call my manager. Manager comes out, looks at them, says, it's a knickknack, Patty Whack. Give the frog a loan. His old man's a rolling stone. I butchered that joke.
All right. Well, thank you both for trying. In your defense, I've been putting you under the pressure all morning to tell old jokes.
I had it ready, and I still screwed it up. That's why I'm a newsman, not a stand-up.
You know. Oh, and Joe's a comedian, so, or was at
used
one point.
To be.
Thank you, Joe. Thank you, Ian. We were waiting on some developments yesterday and what's happening with the French Quarter trash contract and who's going to be picking up garbage there a week from today. And Glade Bilby, president of French Quarter Citizens and board member with the French Quarter Management District, was on with us yesterday as we were waiting another court hearing. Well, that happened, so we asked him to come back today to tell us what it means going forward. Morning, Glade. How you doing?
I'm fine. Add to the confusion.
Yeah, well, that seems to be the one consistent with this story is it's been lots of confusion without a clear path forward. Before we get serious, let's get this out of the way. I understand you want to tell us an old joke as well.
Well, I don't know if it's old, but what kind of jokes do garbage men love? Ones that don't stink.
All right. There you go. Keeping it on top.
You know, there's also no official training for garbage men. They just pick it up as they go along.
Ah, see, there you go. All right. It's National Tell an Old Joke Day. Glade Bilby helping us out in this effort. All right. So the issue went to court yesterday.
Right.
And when it was all said and done, what do we think will happen a week from today in terms of who will be picking up the trash in the French Quarter?
Actually, I think everybody's going to be picking up trash. No, quite frankly, I think the judge punted a little bit yesterday by not ruling on anything. And in fact, part of his comment was he didn't want to add to the confusion and have inconsistent judgment. So it didn't really clear anything up particularly. As people recall, this all started back in winter of 24, when there was a confusion with our dispute between Richards Disposal and Henry Consulting. And then when they went before the council, there was other people involved, Clean Force and KBS, and it turned out that it wasn't as clear as just hiring one company. So I think that's when the council got involved and refused to ratify the company that the mayor had selected. And we've gone downhill since then with emergency contracts, rescissions of contracts, emergency declarations, rescissions of that. So the thing is very confusing.
So let me ask you, 1 week from today, who do you think will be coming to your home to empty your trash can?
Well, I think it will be Ivy Waste, and I'll tell you why. Because French Quarter Management District has the legal authority based by state legislature signed legislation last year to contract for sanitation for the French Quarter. And that's what we're in the process of doing. You probably read in the paper that on the 28th, the board will ratify our selection of the contractor and give the contract to Ivy Waste, who you read was selected for that. So I think we're going to have Ivy Waste continue with the excellent job they've been doing in the quarter. And whoever else may happen, I mean, this is kind of a legal quagmire in a lot of ways because there's still two court cases, one before the Fourth Circuit, one district court. So a lot of things can happen. I mean, as a friend of mine, we don't want to have national headlines that the trash is piling up in the French Quarter because you know that will happen.
Yeah, oh yeah. If and it's happened before. We remember in the past when there's been disputes or employment disagreements or labor issues, where we see those national images spreading across the internet, around the country and around the world, of huge piles of trash. Usually they show Bourbon Street because, you know, that's the sexy part of the French Quarter for at least journalists around the country and around the world. But this is. How would you gauge your level of concern at this point? Because under the state law, you guys get to select the contractor if the city does not. But the mayor's office contends they have selected the contractor and so far seems to have the upper hand in court with a week to go.
Well, they do, but there's still it's under suspense of appeal and there's still two court cases outstanding. So, I mean, until those are satisfied and appealed and possibly go to the Supreme Court, it's not quite settled. So going forward, we have to look out for what's in the best interest of the quarter and ultimately the city.
Have you talked to Ivy Waste and or whoever is going to be working for Henry Consulting, picking up the trash, to find out what they're planning to do? Because I envision a world where either neither of them does it because they're afraid they're not going to get paid with this quagmire, as you described it, or where both of them are out there because they feel they have the legal right to be there competing to pick up your trash.
No, I haven't talked to him. The only thing I know is what I read that Sidney Torres said in the paper, that we will be doing the job. And he's so proud of the city and the job that he's doing that I think he will do it regardless of where the money's going to come from, knowing that you're going to get paid for doing the job because you have to. But I think all is said and done, we're not going to have two people doing it, because as people, if you paid attention to the council hearing the other day, the three people that were in the administration, director of operations, the head of sanitation, and the CAO, all said that they didn't feel like Henry Consulting was ready to do the job. So that said, everything's pointing to we have to keep what we know is working.
Yeah, although I wouldn't put it past this mayor and this administration to try to deny payment, claiming they had the legal right to pick and that was not what happened. So I expect more uncertainty, not less, going forward. But at some point, some judge somewhere is going to have to make a ruling that definitively, at least in the interim, says who's going to be doing it from August till December.
Well, they're going to have to. And I think the court case is coming up on the 5th of August. So it's after a termination and a restart. So we'll see what happens there. A friend of mine called me from New York and he said, what are you guys doing down there with this garbage contract? Are you trying out for a legal episode of The Sopranos? And I cracked up about that. But when you think about it, it's just a lot of legal things that the average person, once the garbage picked up, effective, efficient work, look out for the French Quarter. They don't know the difference between an ordinance and a motion, but they see all this kind of back and forth going on that doesn't bode well for transparency and fairness. And I think that's what we ultimately should try for.
How frustrating has this been for you, your fellow neighbors and business folks, you know, that are operating in the French Quarter, that this has become such a spectacle and that a quagmire, as you put it, without a clear end in sight?
Well, it is frustrating. It's unfortunate. We're right now still having good service and a clean quarter. But the thing that is most worrying to people is the amount of negative energy that is being spent for something that's unnecessary. If we were spending all of this time doing more positive things for the quarter, growing the economy and the obvious need to continue jobs, support the restaurants, we'd be better. It would be better use of our time. I mean, this is a lot of energy spent on something that most of us feel has been unnecessary.
Yeah, and I think everyone, regardless of which side of it they're on, kind of probably feels the same way. It's got to be frustrating to everyone involved, whether it's the mayor or the council or your organizations or anybody else. This is just getting kind of silly at this point.
It is. And watch the city, some of the city council proceedings, especially what happened on Monday. It's like, going through the timeline minute by minute, looking at the paperwork that doesn't look exactly right, questioning who did what, when. It is frustrating, and you can tell that's boiling over in everybody's responses to it at this point.
Yeah, I mean, when we're getting down to at what time and on what day a document was signed, and did someone white it out and backdate it to make it appear like it said something else, as the city council has raised allegations against the mayor's office, and now you get down to these intricate little details that the courts are going to have to decide, you do wonder how they could definitively make any kind of ruling, then with pending appeals on top of that, one that's already going to the appellate court, and you got to imagine will end up in the state Supreme Court, and then the others might follow that path. I got to wonder if in, 176 days when the mayor leaves office, if this is even settled then, but maybe her leaving office would help settle it.
Well, it would, but not soon enough if we have a week to go before it. The contract starts or stops or whoever knows what. So, I mean, we need to look out for that. And that's what we're doing at French Quarter Management District. We're continuing on the path that was set up by the legislation and protecting ourselves here. Now, that said, the original contract was for Service Area 5, which includes the DDD. We are not able to do that. The DDD is kind of on its own. They're going to have to do something about that in the meantime, until this gets settled out. So there's a lot of situations that are constantly seem like they're moving.
Yeah, but and while the French Quarter Management District, under the state law, gets to select a contractor if the city fails to do so, you don't pay that contractor. So whoever you select, you got to wonder, then they're going, okay, you selected us, but the city's got to pay us.
Well, we're working those details out now, but the legislation says be reimbursed by the city or the money put up, whatever money we put up will be reimbursed. So we're still working those details out because all this is fast moving.
Well, Glade, thank you for your jokes to begin. Sorry for the seriousness and the confusion that does surround this, as you called it, a quagmire that followed, because it's just horrible to be in this position with this uncertainty, with all this fighting going on around you and with no clear end in sight for something so vital and critical to quality of life and ability to function as trash collection. So I know we'll be talking to you again probably within the next week before we find out who's going to be picking up trash August 1st. Sounds like both companies right. have issued statements that they expect to be doing it. So, yeesh.
Well, it would be really funny to see two competing companies picking up. So we'll see what happens.
One on one side, one on the other, racing to get to the right. can before the other guy. Yeah, no, that wouldn't be good.
Right.
Thank
no,
you, Glade. Appreciate
you.
The update. Glade Bilby, president of French Quarter Citizens and board member with the French Quarter Management District. I'm Dave Cohen, in for Tommy Tucker. We believe in the power of being everywhere here at WWL, so you can listen to us anytime, anywhere, in a variety of different ways. Obviously on 870 AM, 105.3 FM at WWL.com. But you can also listen to me, Tommy Tucker, Newell, Scoot, Sports Talk, and everything else that we have on the Odyssey app, and now on the iHeartRadio app and the TuneIn app. So however you want to listen, you've got options. Got some scattered heavy showers right now, kind of widely across the area, and we may see more of that throughout the day with a rain chance at 60%, more of that tomorrow. And wow, this is from a piece of that same system that a week ago was bringing some areas the heavy rain that moved across the Gulf Coast. It went all the way around that high pressure system, that heat dome, came all the way back, and now a piece of it may do the same thing again by Wednesday of next week, as this thing moves into Texas, it may then skirt the upper level high, go off the eastern seaborne again, come back into the Gulf, and have a third chance at development. I don't want to give it three chances. I don't like that. Right now, there's nothing to really worry about in terms of development, but we are entering the busy part of the hurricane season, so we should pay attention. And, of course, during hurricane season, you're always worried about losing power. Well, last night, we had some 10,000 power outages, and we didn't didn't even have tropical weather. WWL wants to help ease your concerns about power outages. That's why we've teamed up with Craig's Electrical and Generator Service to offer you the chance to win a portable generator. We're talking about a Generac GP6500, total value almost $1,000. Go to WWL.com/contest for your chance to win. Backup power from Craig's Electrical and Generator Service, because when the power goes out, Craig's comes on, and WWL, Louisiana's official emergency management station. I'm Dave Cohen, in for Tommy Tucker. We've been doing a lot of the serious business today, just talked about the fact that we still don't know who 1 week from today is going to be picking up garbage in the French Quarter. Both companies, the one the mayor wants and the one that just about everybody else wants, say that they will be ready to pick up the trash a week from today and plan on picking it up. And that's pending what the courts may or may not do. Right now, the court's not giving clear indication on where we're going to go with all of that. So I really wonder how it's going to end. And it seems like the mayor has dug in her heels, and everybody else from the city council to the French Quarter residents and businesses and the management district are sticking to their guns. And we have an impasse here with neither side talking compromise, neither side talking solutions. Both sides now waiting on the courts to make a call. Both sides feeling like they have the legal right to make this decision. And everybody is stuck in the middle. The residents, the businesses, the visitors, and anybody who cares about the way that New Orleans is perceived, both from a political standpoint and a cleanliness standpoint. And I just hope that this gets a resolution before August 1st, 1 week from now, because if it doesn't, and we have a free-for-all in the French Quarter with continuing disagreements about who's supposed to pick up the garbage, it's going to be ugly, and it's going to be a stain once again on the city of New Orleans, and really for no reason, at least no reason we fully understand. There's still so many questions that the mayor won't answer about why she is so insistent on giving this contract to a company that has no garbage trucks, no experience, and no support outside of the mayor's office. Just tell us why. Don't just tell us it's because you feel like they won the bid process and deserve it because of that, because on its face, that doesn't seem to justify what we're seeing unfold before us. So come on, explain it. Why are you so insistent on giving this contract to the one contractor that nobody other than the mayor wants? 504-260-1870. Curious what you think. Share your thoughts with us on the Elkhorn Hart Jewelers talk and text line. All morning long, we've been celebrating National Tell an Old Joke Day. One person texts us and says, why did the little boy throw a clock out the window? He wanted to see time fly. Why did he then throw butter out the window? He wanted to see a butterfly. Thank you for those old jokes. I don't know if those are even dad jokes. This one may be more of a dad joke. Why can your hand only be 11 inches long? Because if it was 12 inches, it would be a foot. Thank you for that. A bartender asked a duck how he was going to pay for his drink. And he said, put it on my bill. All right, when we come back, we're going to talk about a brand new $1.3 million playground that Jefferson Parish is opening in Lafreniere Park. What do you get for $1.3 million? Well, a lot of people are really impressed with this playground. We'll talk about that. And later on this hour, we're going to talk with Pew Research. American support for school cell phone bans is higher and higher. More and more parents are supporting, and more people in general are supporting, a ban on kids having phones in school. But it's still a huge controversy and a big battle. So we'll talk about that coming up this half hour as well on WWL. What has four wheels and flies? A garbage truck. Oh, flies like the bugs, the insects. I get it. Thank you for staying on topic, by the way. It's National Tell an Old Joke Day, so we've been letting people tell old jokes all morning. Somebody else says, two guys walk into a bar. The third guy ducks. Two peanuts are walking down the street. One is assaulted. Peanut. And what did one melon say to the other melon? I love you, but we cantaloupe. Keep the old jokes coming. I didn't say they were good. I just said they were old. What do you get for $1.3 million worth of a playground? Well, that's not a joke at all. This is serious business, and it's great news for Lafreniere Park. Joining us now, Trip Rabelais, the director of Lafreniere Park, and Arita Bohannon, Jefferson Parish Council District 4 Councilwoman. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So this week you all cut the ribbon and let the kids start playing at this brand new park. What is so amazing that everyone's raving about, Councilwoman Bohannon, about this new playground at Lafreniere Park?
Well, it's not your typical playground. You know, it has special features that make it really inclusive. And, you know, there's a little bit of a difference between inclusive and handicap. You know, people will say, well, they're all inclusive. We all have handicap, you know, accessible playgrounds. But this is really way, way more than just accessible. Even ADA playgrounds, you know, the children can access the lower level of play. They can access most areas in the park. This one has a special ramping system so that for many people, adults included, for the first time in their life, they can access the second level of play. And you know, I've seen a grown man access that second level and just tears coming down his eyes because he's never been able to access that level.
So people with mobility challenges, whether they're in a wheelchair or need other aids to help them move about, this playground not only should be not only accessible, but fun for them as well as fun for everybody else.
Yeah, but it's really more that the physical disabilities are just the tip of the iceberg. This park really focuses on children and adults who have social, anxietal, spectrum-type disorders. It has tiny, tiny features that to typical children, you know, just look kind of cool. You know, like a tree trunk actually feels like a tree trunk. Well, if you have sensory issues, feeling like actually being able to run your fingers and feel the patterns that the bark make is a world of difference. It has little quiet coves for them when they get overwhelmed. It has little pocket areas that they can kind of sit and gather themselves. Lots of like fidget spinners. You ever seen the kids play with fidget spinners?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, those are built in all around the playground. It has a communication board for kids who are nonverbal. It has a special slide that, you ever seen a kid go down the slide and his hair kind of stands up? Or
yes.
If you ever gone down the slide and your hair stands
up? Yeah, from the static electricity, yeah.
Right. Well, if you have a cochlear implant, you can't go down those slides. So this park has roller slides so that they have a slide that they can go down without interfering with their implants. A communication board for kids who are nonverbal. You know, lots of tiny little the grounds themselves are marked with different colors so that kids or adults who are visually impaired can see that there's a change, you know, in the slope of the concrete so that they know that there's a little they got to be careful around the edges. It has little things like that really reach a much broader area than just a, you know, simple ADA or handicap or wheelchair accessible.
Trip Rabelais, you ever seen anything like this in your history at Lafreniere Park or anywhere else in this business?
No, I've never seen anything like this, and it's very personal for me. My sister had spina bifida, spent most of her life in a wheelchair, and she never had these opportunities. So to have something like this built where I am the director is very meaningful to me, and I can't thank Arita enough for bringing this to Lafreniere Park. Because it's another part of the jewel of Jefferson Parish where we have something for everybody, and now we really have something for everybody. Everybody can come here and play. Everybody can come here and have a great time.
And congratulations, by the way. It is called Trip's Treehouse, and it really is kind of a trip when you look at it. This is huge. This is very tall. It's expansive. Paint a picture for us, Trip, if you would, for people who haven't been able to see what this looks like yet.
Well, it actually almost blends into the scenery because it looks like trees and a treehouse. It's beautiful. The renderings didn't do it any justice. It really just – I sent Arita a picture yesterday evening of the kids all playing on it because that's one of the first times I've ever seen that playground this crowded. It was just full of kids, and they're having a great time, and that's what it's about. It's about getting everybody involved. It's about having something that everybody can come enjoy as often as they want. And look – yesterday afternoon when I left here at 5:30 or so, it was hot. So these kids were out there, and they wanted to be out there because it was nice and it was fun, and they were having a good time. So it's going to be a wonderful addition here. And I do have a joke, Dave, if you want it.
Oh, yeah. You're both invited to on this National Tell an Old Joke Day to share a joke with us.
Did you hear about the peekaboo accident?
No, I didn't. What about the peekaboo accident?
They all ended up in the ICU.
Peekaboo, ICU.
Oh, goodness.
Arita, you want to follow that?
No, I couldn't possibly.
All right.
I have nothing, Dave. I have nothing.
That's okay. We'll let that one stand alone. And the fact that it is, a treehouse themed, there's a lot of shade there, right? So even in the heat, that shade helps bring it down 10 to 15 degrees, doesn't it?
Oh, there's wonderful trees in the area, and we're actually going to add some more seating under some of those trees, hopefully today. It's really just it's a good spot for it. We were very conscious in keeping the trees when we built the playground. I think we only took one out to make room. So we've got shelters in there with tables so people can sit under those as well. It really just is a wonderful addition to Lavenir Park.
Well, congratulations to both of you, and thank you for joining us. We'll have to get out there and check it out. Arita Bohannon, Jefferson Parish Council 4, and Trip Rabelais, Director of Lavenir Park, telling us more about Tripp's Tree House. I'm Dave Cohen in for Tommy Tucker. All right, we'll get some more old jokes for you coming up after this, and we'll also talk about a new survey on whether or not kids should have cell phones in schools. Where do pirates go to get their hooks? The second-hand store. Yeah, it's National Tell an Old Joke Day, so people have been texting jokes like that in all morning long. Keep them coming at 504-260-1870. It was a lot of controversy when the Louisiana legislature considered banning children from using cell phones in public schools across Louisiana. Ultimately, it passed and became the law of the state. Many private schools have also, and many school districts have had their own policies on it as well. And I've heard the concerns from both sides. Parents who want to be able to contact their children if they need to during the school day. Parents who are concerned about if their kids have an emergency, if, God forbid, a school shooter enters a school, that they have the ability to contact 911 or contact their parents or whoever they need to. At the same time, we've heard from educators and others who believe that cell phones have made it nearly impossible for teachers to conduct class and teach class if kids have their phones in and they have their faces stuck in their phones. So Pew Research has done a new survey to find out what's the feeling across the land about kids with cell phones at school. Monica Anderson is the Director of Internet and Technological Research for Pew. Good morning, Monica.
Good morning. Thank you for having me on.
Glad that you're here. What did you find in your latest survey about cell phone bans in schools?
I think one of the really interesting findings from the survey is that this is actually the second time we've asked these questions, and we've already seen an uptick in American support for these bans. So when we asked this question in 2024, 68% of Americans said that they supported cell phones being banned in classrooms. When we re-asked the same question recently, that number had jumped almost 10 percentage points. Almost three quarters now support a classroom ban.
Wow. I guess, did they indicate why their support for a ban has increased, or was that not part of the survey?
Well, one of the things that we had the opportunity to do is really kind of understand whether or not what type of impact people thought that these cell phone bans would have on children. And one of the things that we see across ages, other demographic groups, across party lines, is this belief that banning cell phones in school would actually be a positive thing for young people's social skills, their grades, and their behavior in class. So a lot of people's attitudes and views really relate to those kind of core things around academic performance and how they relate to each other and their teachers.
And those who still do oppose these bans, was it similar to what we've heard in the debate in the Louisiana legislature about parents concerned about not being able to contact their children if they have to tell them something about a change in the plan for their pickup or heading home, or concerns about if there's an emergency at school, a weather emergency, or God forbid, a school shooter?
For those who are opposed to these types of ban, you're exactly right. One of the biggest reasons that we heard from Americans was this belief that their parents should be able to reach their kid if they needed to. And then also this belief that when it comes to physical safety, people aren't necessarily sold on whether or not losing these phones in class would be a really good thing. Actually, only about a third of Americans said that removing cell phones from the entire school day would have a positive impact on the physical safety of students.
All right. So 74% of those surveyed support banning children from having cell phones in schools. And I know it's been very difficult for districts to figure out how to enact these bans if the children have to put their phones in their desks and their backpacks, have to put them at the teacher's desks, have to leave them in a locked box, have to put them in a bag. A lot of questions about how schools have been dealing with and enacting these bans. Anything else from your survey you can share with us about now 74% of American adults support banning cell phones in schools?
I would pick up on your last point is that, again, for those that are not in favor of these kind of bans, one of the things that a majority have said is that they just think these things would be too difficult for teachers to actually enforce.
Yeah, and that's the other thing. If you do support the ban, what do you do if there's a violation of that ban, and how serious should those punishments be? You know, I remember now all my kids are grown and out of the house now, and I'm really in many levels thankful for that because with smartphones and AI companions and all these other things that parents are having to deal with now with their kids, it seems more complicated to be a parent than ever before. But I remember if a kid was caught with a phone or any other contraband in school, it used to be the teacher would grab it, put it in a drawer, and the parent would have to come to school and pick it up. With every kid having a cell phone now and all of these bans, it seems like that might be way over too time consuming, and you'd have long lines of parents out the door every day.
Yeah, I mean, I think enforcement is a big part of the conversation, and even thinking about what is the role of state and local government in this. And so what we see is that Americans are slightly more worried about the government being too lax in regulating than too strict. But a big share of the public, about a third, say they're just not quite sure about what the government should be doing about this.
Monica, we appreciate you doing this research and sharing it with us here on WWL. And it really is striking that we continue to see the support for such bans grow. And I got to imagine that's going to mean we're going to see more and more districts, more and more counties and parishes and states enacting bans. Here in Louisiana, all public schools are already under state law to ban children from using cell phones during the school day. So you anticipate that we're going to see that pretty much spread across the country?
Yeah, that's definitely something for us to watch, and we'll continue to poll to see what the public thinks about any of these types of changes.
Thank you, Monica. We appreciate you joining us here on WWL. Have a great rest of your day.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
I'm Dave Cohen in for Tommy Tucker. We've been talking about a lot of different things today. And remember, if you missed any of it or want to listen back to any of it, whether it's that conversation we just had, whether it was talking early this morning about how the number of journalists in the country is dwindling rapidly. In fact, there are 75% fewer journalists now in the United States of America, and there are shrinking numbers of newspapers, shrinking numbers of TV stations doing local news, and what the future is for local news. You can go back and listen to that by going to the Odyssey app or WWL.com using the rewind function, or by choosing any segment, or you can listen to the whole show or any hour of the show. We also talked with Ag Commissioner Mike Strain about the record high beef prices now. We have never never paid more for a steak or a pound of ground beef, and he thinks that cost is only going to continue to skyrocket to a point where beef may become a luxury, but he's also thinking that with the prices getting so high, demand will drop, and that may bring prices down as well. But he does not expect to see an increase in cattle ranching or any of the other issues that are challenging the beef industry right now. And he's very fearful of the screw worm that is spreading across Mexico. If that gets into the U.S. cattle supply, then that would be absolutely devastating. Newell Norman's coming up next hour. What you got for us today, Newell?
Dave, we're going to visit with Rafael Goyeneche, and we'll talk about a number of issues on different cases, and also about Susan Hudson being found in contempt and investigation inside of NOPD. At 11:30, Pat Connick, state senator, joins us about some funding and financing that has been provided by the state in lieu of the amounts of money that were pulled back by the newly elected Councilman Kerner. Ron Fauché joins us to start out the 11 o'clock hour. We'll talk about the six-month anniversary of Donald Trump's second presidency. We'll also talk a little bit about the mayor's race. Jay Green, Senior Research Fellow for Education Policy at The Heritage, will talk about where we stand in our system.
Sounds great. Newell's next. See you tomorrow at 5.